Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed, and I'm so glad to have everybody in the place to be. Papi Akute to the family. We're going to chop up some great game as we always do, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. So while we're doing that, I'm going to need y'all to hit that thumbs up button, hit the like button, let everybody know that we're live right now. And we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Tariq Radio. So don't you move a muscle, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed, available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack, and the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
RealEstateExpress.us, that's the number one choice for real estate school with over 520,000 aspiring real estate agents and brokers that have taken their courses. Enroll today in pre-licensing and post-licensing courses across a nationally accredited platform led by industry experts who knows what it takes to succeed. And you can go at your own pace. So check them out right now at realestateexpress.us. Again, that's realestateexpress.us.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
Our children are influenced by many things in this world, and music is one of them. If you're worried about your children listening to music that promotes sex, drugs, and violence, then introduce them to Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning program that combines hip-hop and cartoons to teach children math, science, and language arts, and much, much more. Gifted and Lit also has an amazing new home workout program called Gifted and Fit. This program combines social, emotional, learning, and physical fitness to help families get in shape together. Order right now and use the coupon code Tariq to save 10% off on your next order. Go to giftedandlit.com right now and join the movement.
Stop overpaying for supplements. Static Supplements is your newest and best source for superfoods, proteins, pre-workout powders, and much, much more. The Static line offers all natural ingredients, lightning-fast delivery, and award-winning customer service. Static is also 100% black-owned and operated. Go to staticsup.com. That's staticsupp.com and see for yourself. Let us help you be the best you that you can be. Never settle. Never give up.
What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com. to get these cookies. Black-owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuned in to the incredible, to the legendary Tariq Nasheed. On Tariq Radio.
Please wear your mask.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have the family in here. Papi Akute to the family. Papi Akute to the family. Oh, man, a lot of stuff we're going to touch on today's broadcast. Everybody likes the Ogoon Juice commercial, ogoonjuice.com. Get that ogoonjuice.com. Everybody hit that thumbs up button. Everybody hit that like button, ladies and gentlemen. This Sunday, right here on my live, on my Tariq Radio channel, and everybody, if you are new here, subscribe to the Tariq Radio channel. Hit that subscribe button right now. We're going to do the world premiere of the new Mink Slide video called Phone Down. Oh, it's a fun video. I just posted a screenshot of the video on my Instagram. People are already ready. Hold on, let me show y'all the screenshot that I posted on my Instagram. Let me show y'all the screenshot real quickly for the new video right here. Oh, man, we on the beach with it. I mean, we're doing the old school 90s R&B vibe. We're bringing that energy back with it. Oh, yeah, I'm looking very R&B-ish. Oh, we have the white linen on. I got the R&B baseball bat. Oh, we're paying homage to the 90s R&B sound. Oh, it's a very fun and a very sexy video. Hide your aunties. Mink Slide is coming. Somebody said the screenshot looks like a Keith Sweat video. Yes, indeed. People said it looks like a Jodeci video. Yes, indeed. We're paying homage to all that. We're paying homage to that genre. And we're going to have a lot of fun. We had a great time filming the video. Our new EP called Funk on Wheels is coming out October 1st. You guys will be able to pre-order this weekend. I want everybody to start getting their pre-order this weekend. So yeah, we're bringing that vibe back. See, it's important for us to kind of pay homage to the genres we create. We kind of have a habit of doing something and we move on and then abandon certain things and then other people pick it up. See, we got to start circling back and owning some of the stuff that we create. Yeah. So that old 90s R&B vibe, and plus the EP has a lot of funk on it, is real funky, but we also got that real cool 90s R&B vibe that, you know, we got to really put our stamp back on, because what they try to do now, that if you notice that 90s vibe, they try to give that vibe to the new white artists. They try to have Justin Bieber do that type of vibe, you know, and they got a lot of the black artists basically singing over trap beats, which is cool. But again, some of the traditional R&B that we're known for, they end up sliding that to the white cats. You understand? So we got to get back. We got to let folks know who made what. We got a very bad habit of letting folks slide into our genres. And then what happens? They slide in, co-opt it. Then all of a sudden, the genre is defined by them, just like rock and roll. Just like rock and roll. The distorted guitars, those were old It was a black woman, I forgot her name, back in the 1950s, who was the first person to do that distorted guitar thing. It was a sister who would sing gospel and then she started singing rock and she would do the distorted guitar, and that's where people got it. Then Jimi Hendrix got that, and then they got the rest from Hendrix. So that whole distorted guitar, that has become a staple of rock and roll. It was black men and women doing that genre. And I cannot think of that sister's name right off the top of my head. But we let people come in and take over our genres. We got to stop that. You know, we really got to stop that. And that whole 90s vibe, that was a fly ass era. That was a fly vibe that we had going on back then. You dig? So they're going to start letting the non-black artists slip in and do that. I think it's Rosetta Thorpe. I want to say the sister's name is Rosetta Thorpe, if I'm not mistaken. Let me Google it real quickly. I want to say the sister's name is Rosetta Thorpe. Hold on 1 second. Let me play this 1 second. Hold on. Hold on 1 second while we are. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Guitar solo. Okay, let me. I think it is her. Hold on. No, is it her? No, I think it's another sister. Rosetta Thorpe, she was one of the people. Hold on, let me show her. This is Rosetta Thorpe here. Is it? It might be her. Hold on. Hold on. Let me show our sister Rosetta Thorpe doing her guitar joint here. Hold on. Hold on. This is Rosetta Thorpe. I don't want to get a copyright strike here. Oh, yeah, this is her. It is her. Hold on. Yeah, this is her. It's her. It's her. That's right. Okay, it's her. Yeah, this sister right here. Them sisters used to be killing the guitar back in the day. Yeah, it was Rosetta Thorpe. Rosetta Tharpe, I'm sorry. It was her, yes. This sister right here, Rosetta Tharpe, Sister Rosetta Tharpe. Let me just show the visuals so I don't get a copyright strike. But yeah, Rosetta Tharpe. Yeah, she was the one who started that distorted guitar thing. Yeah, the godmother of rock. Yeah. Hear those licks? All those licks that you hear in rock and roll today? Yeah, this sister started that. It was this sister right here. But you would never know that. When you hear these kind of licks, you think, you know, you think of the rock and roll white boys. You think of Elvis and all these people. You know, this is why it's important for us to hold our genres and let folks know who got what. See, this is why we got to start laying claim to stuff, just like with hip hop. Because see, what happens is we start letting folks get in and lay claim and lay co-claim to it. And that's the big mistake. We did that with hip hop. We let a lot of people co-claim it. People hop along and say, well, yeah, hip hop was started by y'all foundational black Americans, but it was also started by us Caribbeans too. And we're like, you know, cause we're so creative. We're like, okay, yeah, we'll share. Yeah, we'll give you co-credit. And then we start saying, okay, yeah, you Puerto Ricans, if y'all want to claim it too, we'll let y'all claim it too. And then what happens is we let that go on, and then we let that bullshit fester, and then they start saying we got the shit from them. Then they start turning around saying, well, yeah, y'all foundational black Americans learned hip hop from us, over us Jamaicans, you learned it from us. Then they start talking crazy. This is why we got to check a lot of shit at the gate. You give some people an inch, they'll try to take a mile. That's why we now are battling a lot of people, having to clear up and reinstate what the real history is. This is very important. And that's why, you know, the Mink Slide Project, that's one of the reasons why we do it. Number one, it's very fun. It's like my music therapy. Music is very therapeutic, and I do a lot of heavy work. So the music is already very therapeutic. So you get to see and listen to our therapy. But also, I like the fact that we are laying claim to our genre, especially the old school R&B and the funk genre, because that's another genre that a lot of people wish they could co-opt. That's why you don't hear a lot of it unless it's from a non-black artist. You hear funk from a lot of non-black artists like Dapt Punk and all those people who make millions off of funk records. And they kind of blend it in with EDM. But the funk genre, man, that's a heavy genre that we created as well, that is really underestimated, and we have to lay back our claim to that. There's a small number of us new musicians out here doing that. Our good brothers and sisters, the APX, they have an EP coming out. I just saw their video. Their video is not even released. They let me pre-screen their new video. That shit is fire. My man D and his bride, his queen, Erica, they're showing out on this one. My other brother, Dame Funk, out here in LA, my man puts in good work with that funk music. So it's very important that we lay claim to our genres. Because see, funk is a genre that it's hard for them, the dominant society, to try to co-opt it just by the nature of funk. Funk, you can't fake it. There's a reason there was a saying, you can't fake the funk. You cannot fake the funk. There's an old saying, and that's why that saying is still alive today. You cannot fake the funk. That shit has to be in you. You have to grow up with it for it to really be funky. So in order for it to really be genuine, in order for you to really appreciate it, you know, you have to grow up in that funk vibe, that bass and them drums. It has to be in you. All of us, most of you who are listening to me, especially my FBA family, y'all grew up on Parliament, or your uncles or your dad or your mama grew up on Parliament, grew up on that funk, grew up on Roger Troutman and Zapp. I remember when I was doing some stuff with MTV, and we're out there in Arizona, and they had a rental car for me, and some of those stations were ass as hell. Those stations were trash. They were assy and trashy. So I went and got a Best of Roger Troutman and Zapp CD at the record store out there so I can drive around and listen to some funk shit while we're filming. And the white people with me didn't even know who Roger Troutman was. They're like, what's this, dude? More bands to the ants? It's cute. What's that with his voice, man? I'm like, y'all never heard of Roger Troutman and Zapp? What the hell? Get me out of here. And by the way, let me tell y'all something. On the Funk on Wheels EP, we have a person on the talk box, a brother named Andre Troutman, who's a relative of Roger Troutman and the legendary Zapp family. He's on the EP. He's on all the songs on the EP. My brother Andre Troutman. Family, we got serious with the funk on this one. When you hear, some of y'all heard the snippet from the song Phone Down. That talk box in the chorus, that's Andre Troutman. That's why this shit sounds so tight. Yes. Oh yeah. We got real with it. When y'all see the video this weekend, when y'all hear the talk box, that's Andre Troutman from the Roger Troutman and Zapp family. Yeah, we got blessed by that bloodline, ladies and gentlemen. We got blessed by the Troutman bloodline on the new Funk on Wheels EP, ladies and gentlemen. We're not playing around. Family, I think this new Funk on Wheels EP, this thing is going to go platinum, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saying it right here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying the new Funk on Wheels EP is going to go platinum. I'm saying it right now. This is how tight and funky and thorough it is. And it's only 5 full songs on there, but it's tight, it's funky, it's concise. You dig? But yeah, a lot of that funk comes out of Dayton and Ohio, that Ohio area. That's a heavy funk area, that middle America. Ohio has produced so many funk groups. The group Slave, the Ohio Players, Midnight Star, Roger Troutman and Zapp, Bootsy. So many funk groups then came out of Ohio, particularly Dayton. You understand? So yeah, it's getting real. Yeah, the meet is so many people. That's why when James Brown wanted to get a new backing band, he went to Ohio and got Bootsy and Catfish and got those brothers. He went to Ohio and got those dudes and brought him into his band. Yeah, Chuck Berry. No, the Gap Band, they're from Oklahoma. They're from Tulsa. You dig? And there's a new documentary about Rick James that's on Showtime. I got to watch that too. We really got to give our brother Rick James his respect. A pioneer of funk. That's another person. That's another unsung hero that we got to give props to our brother Rick James. Rick James kept that funk alive. He kept that funk going heavy in the 80s. He don't get enough props. We got to give enough props to our brother Rick James. Yeah, Lakeside came out of Ohio. A lot of those cats came right out of Dayton. You understand? A lot of that funk was concentrated right there in Middle America. Yeah, Boots is from Cincinnati. That's true. No, Rick James is from Buffalo. Yeah, Rick James is from Buffalo, New York. But anyway, I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But the new EP comes out October 1st. The pre-sales go up this weekend, especially my iTunes people. Y'all need to get it in advance. Get that pre-sale in advance. This is a phenomenal EP that's coming out, and you guys are going to love the video. Y'all going to crack up because we are showing the hell out. And y'all, I'm going to promote this thing heavy because I had to get in some good trouble because of this damn video. Let me say that. There's some things going on in the video. You know, they're appropriate, but, you know, I had to come home and do some nigga splaining in a little bit. And when I had to show my wife. So I had to do a lot of nigga splaining in the video, about the video, okay? I had to do some nigga splaining. I had to go through a lot to get this video to bring y'all some R&B magic. To make this thing pop off, I had to get in some good damn trouble. Yes, I did. I got in some good trouble. My wife still has a little attitude, but it's okay. She has a little attitude. Even now, I showed her the video yesterday. She still kind of has an attitude. You dig? I had to explain some of the stuff in the video. It's the director. They told me to do certain things. They told certain things. It's the director's fault. It's his fault. I have to be in character, sweetheart. I have to sell this thing. I have to make it look real. Yeah, my eyes are bucking a little bit. Yes, the eyes are bucking. I go through a lot. It ain't that bad. Listen. It ain't that bad. Okay, it ain't that bad. The scenes ain't that bad. You understand? But but my wife be tripping. Yeah, like why'd you have to do that? Why she gotta be doing all that? It's the director who did that. It's the director who did it. So yeah, you know, it's a video. I got in a little good trouble. But, you know, I got to sell it to you guys. I got to sell it to you. I got to make it pop off. So y'all better support this shit. Yeah, I got in a little good trouble, but I'm still splaining. So my next video, it got to be a Christian song. My next song, I got to do a gospel album now. Because I keep getting in good trouble at home. This is a snippet from my new album to make a...
I'm a young black man.
It's my new album.
Doing all that I can.
I'm bucking my eyes singing this.
To stand. Oh, but when I look around.
Eyes in good trouble.
And I see what you've done to my kind.
So now I gotta sing some Negro spirituals now. Shit. God damn this R&B. Yeah, I gotta do a duet with Kurt Franklin now. Shit. God damn. I try to tell my wife it's acting. Lord. Shit. You know? Oh, God. So now I say, sweetie, can you make me some cream of wheat? Like, get the bitch from the video to make the damn cream of wheat. I say, are we playing this game in here, Alexis? That's when I call her by our real name. I don't want to play these games, Alexis. I don't want to play these games. I is hungry, woman. Lord. But anyway, what else is going on in here? Listen, let's get into the topic of what we're going to talk about. We're talking about other societies not allowing their societies to be buck broken. other societies, they don't allow, they're not really allowing the buck breaking to happen to them. As we see over here, everything on television, especially geared towards us black folks, they're trying to buck break us. They're trying to buck break our children. They are buck breaking us heavy. They're showing us images of male on male, women on women. Every show you look at, they're showing you a rainbow relationship. They're crowbarring that in. There's not one show catered to black people that's not showing an agenda. Not one. Okay? And as our good brother Neely Fuller said, when the dominant society, when the white supremacists can control you and confuse you sexually, they got you. They can confuse and control you in every other area. Okay? They can confuse and control you in every other area. So the white supremacists are using this tactic, they're trying to use this tactic all over the world. Now, in the dominant society, most of white society, they reject that stuff. They reject it. Most of white society reject it. This is why they always have to put a black face on it, so that when white society rejects it, they can say, okay, these white people are being racist towards this black LGBT person. See, that's the game they play. That's why they'll parade Lil Nas X around. And if white people complain about Lil Nas X, they'll say, okay, well, damn it, you guys are being racist towards him. You understand? So that's the game that they're playing. Other societies are really rejecting the agenda that they're trying to promote. And China just came right on out and said, hey, listen, we're going to ban effeminate men from TV altogether. Because China sees what's going on over in Japan and Korea. You know, they're very heavily influenced by Western culture. So you have a lot of feminized Asian men over there on TV in Korea and in Japan. So China saw what's going on and China said, you know what? Nah, we ain't going for it. We see what y'all trying to do. We see what you're trying to do. We're not going to have that going on over here. We're not going to let Western influence try to punk us into having our men on television being portrayed as effeminate. We want to promote manhood. We don't want soft, effeminate men on TV. This is what China is saying. They just came out and said, hey, none of that shit is going on TV over here. If you don't like it, so well, kick rocks. We're just not going to have that. We're going to promote manhood over here. We want to show men as being men. We have a warrior class that we want to have as men. They understand warfare. China understands warfare, and they understand propaganda is warfare. You understand? They're on code with each other. They understand what warfare is. And that's something that we got to understand too. We have to understand the propaganda they use against us is warfare. Somebody said China's pretty racist. Of course. I'm not negating their racism. Let's be very clear. Of course they're racist. Most of these countries over there are racist. That's not the point. You saying that like it's a new phenomenon, like it's something we didn't know. We understand that. But they also understand propaganda. They understand that even though that they're racist and they're all about themselves, which is what they should be about, they're not going to let any people influence their culture who have nefarious intentions. They understand that the white supremacists and the Western influence, they have intentions of undermining their culture. And one way to undermine the culture is to effeminize the warrior class. If you effeminize the warrior class and you got the men running around wearing makeup, you can come in and take over. If the men aren't in a position to stand up and fight like men, you can go in and get them. And this is why with black society, they are always trying to effeminize us. And it works. They try to feminize us. This is why we did the movie Buck Breaking. This is why they're so butthurt over the movie Buck Breaking, because they took a big blow with Buck Breaking. Pause, by the way. buck breaking woke a lot of folks up, especially to the agenda. But yeah, they understand over there in China, they understand the art of war. The book, The Art of War, came out of China. They understand the art of war. They understand how propaganda is warfare. They like, nah, y'all ain't doing that over here. Nope. We see what you're doing. Now, y'all can do that over there with the Negroes, but you're not going to do that over here. Now, even though they got some ladyboys and stuff like that over there, but what they don't want to do is show that in the mainstream media over there to normalize that. They understand what goes on in the culture. They understand that certain things go on. But what happens is when you promote it all the time on television and you normalize it, that has an effect on the men in the culture and the children. You understand? See, we have to take a page from that and understand when these people are waging propaganda against us by trying to force us to be a part of an agenda that many of us just don't want to be a part of. And we have to start calling it out and not being afraid to call it out. And see what they did with the rapper DaBaby. They tried to make an example out of him. And that whole thing where they were falsely accusing him of homophobia and making him apologize and messing with his money and canceling his shows. That was for us. It wasn't really about him. That was to get other black people in line. Like, hey, you black folks, if you don't let us buck break you, this could be coming to you too, this type of backlash. So that was to scare black folks in line. See, we got to stop that thing where we're scared to speak up against certain things. This is why we have to start aggregating our resources and supporting each other. You understand? We better understand how propaganda works. Propaganda is real, and propaganda is warfare. And see, like I said, the movie Buck Breaking, we went at the jugular of the white supremacists, and this is why this is a film that you need to show children, because a lot of folks, when they saw Buck Breaking, boy, that snapped them right on up. They're like, oh, hell no, I ain't going for no damn agenda. And the white supremacists, boy, I remember, do y'all remember the week Buck Breaking came out? Boy, the white media, the week before it came out, the white media was attacking me 6 ways till Sunday. Some of those white LGBT groups were attacking me. I stood strong. I'm not going to be intimidated by a bunch of people who practice anti-black racism. I'm not going to stand down against that. Damn that. No, this stuff has to be called out. We are in a war, and we have to operate as if we are in a war. And we fight their propaganda with propaganda that's going to be constructive. Our propaganda is constructive. And see, the white supremacists, they can't take direct hits. See, direct buck breaking, and again, if you have not seen the movie Buck Breaking, go to buckbreakingmovie.com. Buckbreakingmovie.com. You can watch it today. You can stream it right now at buckbreakingmovie.com. See, that was a direct hit to the jugular of the white supremacists because we went so damn deep with it. And by the way, we are going to come out with a buck breaking too because we still just scratched the surface. We only scratched the surface. We are coming out with a buck breaking too. In the buck breaking too, we're going to have to get into that whole adoption foster care system. I really want to get into that bullshit. How dirty that is and how they do our babies. But see, the white supremacists, they hate taking a direct hit. This is why they need buffer classes. This is why they need the Larry Elders of the world. You understand? This is why they need. And did y'all see Larry Elder? Larry Elder came out. He's running for governor out here. And he went out to the streets of Venice. He went out there and they were throwing shit at him, cursing him out. He was out there for like 12 minutes and had to hop his coon ass right back in the van and drive off. Larry Elder is not safe in no streets in no damn LA. They were cussing his ass out. They were about to whoop his ass. They were about to get that ass. He went back into his coon nest. But listen, and speaking of Larry Elder, I was down in Orange County where we drove through Orange County. We're in Carlsbad, the San Diego Carlsbad area. for my LA people, my SoCal people. Y'all know that area. We went to Legoland. And speaking of Legoland, Legoland is very slept on. We had a great time down there. Our children had a ball. Y'all know I'm very family oriented. And our children, it was Labor Day weekend. And we took our babies down there to Legoland. They absolutely loved it. They absolutely loved it. Legoland is a great little place for small kids. If you live in Southern California, you need to go down there. Shout out to Troll Face Productions. He put $300 on the cash thing right now. Shout out to him. But down there in Legoland, and Legoland is basically a lot of Lego-themed amusement parks. We stayed at the Legoland Hotel. They got a bunch of things made out of Lego blocks there. It's just millions of Lego blocks, and the room has a bunch of Lego blocks, and they have little play areas with a bunch of Lego blocks and Lego blocks all over the place. And, you know, my kids are down there, and there was a lot of these white kids down here, especially from Orange County. And understand, Orange County is very conservative. That area, when you get around, you know, going down there towards San Diego, when you get to Orange County, you're in low-key Klan country. Very conservative, right-wing. I say right-wing because conservative, that's a misnomer. I'll say right-wing. A lot of right-wing white supremacists down there. And these are the white folks. So the kids were cool. The little white kids, I saw a bunch of Connors and Ethans and Jeremiahs and Hunters and Liams. Oh, boy. Little Leonardos and little Bennetts, little Waylands. Oh, man. The whitest names you ever want to find. Little Giovanni, little Jonah, little Zachary. All the little white names. Boy, they were white. Yeah, these were white kids down there. Triple OG white names on them kids. And what's interesting, little Jonah and little Zachary, these are little 5 and 6 year old and 7 year old white kids. You know, my kids were, you know, they were playing with my kids and they were friendly. I give them that. Little friendly kids. All the kids were cool. All the kids were cool. But, you know, my kids are making Lego block dinosaurs. They're like, hey, look, I'm King Kong. I'm Godzilla. They're making little dinosaurs. Little Brody and Hayden and little Judah and little Atlas and little Tucker and little Allen and little Patrick and little Grant, little Avery. The little white kids were making Lego guns. I mean, all of them, they were making these Lego guns, and the shits was looking like real guns. I'm like, whoa. Little Logans. Yeah, little Logan. These little boys were making like Lego Uzis, and the shit looked like a real Uzi. I'm like, damn, little Evan, where'd you learn how to make that? I mean, these shits look real. And this was like, these are like 6 year olds. They're making double barrel shotguns out of Lego. I'm not even exaggerating, dude. Little Dakota, this motherfucker, little Dakota made a 9 millimeter that looked like a real damn 9 millimeter. So somebody at this motherfucker's crib got a 9 and showing him what a 9 looks like. And he's like 6. These little white boys were making Lego guns at like 5 and 6 and 7. I'm like, oh, okay, little Connor. I'm like, TJ, I don't know if you should go over there and mess with little Waylon. I don't know. Little Maximus got a little Uzi over there. Like, damn. These little white boys were making straight up Uzis and shotguns and 9 millimeters. I mean, all of them. And they were making them look real. Like, all right. So that just goes to show what they teach their children. They teach little Hunter about them damn Blickies at a young age, dude. They stay ready. They teach their kids at a young age. You understand? So these kids are making the guns. They have to. These kids have had to have shot real guns before to make a to make guns that precise. They were making precise replicas with Legos, dude. I'm up here trying to make a damn igloo, and this motherfucker done made a damn a sawed off shotgun. I'm like, damn, Billy. Wow, dude. But that just goes to show their mentality. But I'm saying that. So I'm out there in this area. And one thing I noticed out here, we were driving back and we stopped to get something to eat over there in Orange County. And there are all types of, we support Larry Elder signs. There are Larry Elder signs all over the place in Orange County. And that made me nervous being around those white folks. Any white people who support Larry Elder is a goddamn white supremacist or a white supremacist suspect. That lets me know what kind of white supremacist you are. Any white person who supports Larry Elder, the only reason they support Larry Elder is because of his anti-black rhetoric. That's all Larry Elder is really known for. Larry Elder is known for spewing anti-black rhetoric. And white people use him to hide their own racism. They support him so he props up all the white supremacist talking points so they can hide behind him. That's the only reason a Larry Elder is even a thing out here. So any white person supporting him, I'm weary of. And there's a whole towns of them out there supporting some damn Larry Elder. So the fact that they got to have buffer Negroes like that, that shows they can't really take direct hits. They can't take those direct hits. Just like that prosecutor out there in Georgia, she took a direct hit. We put her on that Summer Jam screen a year ago, and she just got indicted. They just arrested her. Jackie Johnson out there in Georgia. Yeah, they got a mugshot of her. See, the white supremacists, they can't take an L like that. They can't take a direct hit like that. You understand? That's why they got to have buffer classes. The white supremacists need buffer classes. Let me show her mugshot real quickly. This is Jackie Johnson. Ex-prosecutor charged. Yeah, that's her mugshot. They got her. I said, hey, big head. See, the white supremacists, they can't, images like this, they can't take too much of that. They can't take too many images like that. And when we go directly at the white supremacists and them taking L's, that's a bad look. Just like Richard Spencer. You know, we were going after Richard Spencer, and now Richard Spencer is out here crying the blues. This is Richard Spencer here. White nationalist Richard Spencer is broke, divorced, and shunned as a summer resident in Whitefish, Montana, locals say. So now he's a pariah in his community because he's now an open white supremacist. We've clowned him. We've shown all of his dangerous, genocidal, anti-black talking points. So now he's toxic among white society. He can't even move around white society no more. You know, he took an L. Yeah, he's crying the blues right now. Ain't nobody rocking with him. Jared Taylor, when I debated Jared Taylor and had him admit to his agenda for black people, he became persona non grata. He got deplatformed and everything. Nobody wants to touch a Jared Taylor. No, these are white supremacists who took major L's. So they got to hide their white supremacy. They got to hide it behind buffer class Negroes. Oh, they got to hide it. And they got to hide their racism behind selective enforcement. That's why the other day when I did my broadcast and I was talking about the Olympics, and I showed a video clip of the Olympics where the black karate competitor fought this white man. The black competitor gave this white man a nice smooth kick, knocked him out, and they gave the damn white man the gold medal because they said the black fighter kicked him too hard and they disqualified him. They used the I'm white and I say so playbook. I showed the clip and boy, they took my broadcast down and blocked it in all countries. I had to remove that clip of the brother kicking the white man. Now, even though it was fair use, because I'm giving a commentary of it, and it's clearly fair use, but boy, they blocked that shit and made me take it down. See, they don't want to show that kind of, they don't want us pointing out that type of hypocrisy, that type of blatant white supremacist, I'm white and I say so hypocrisy. That is nothing but I'm white and I say so. And this Olympic committee, they've been doing little racist shit like that from day one. Yeah, it's on Twitter. I retweeted it on Twitter. But they're making it difficult to find. But yeah, the fact that now when you look up the records, you'll see the white man won the karate competition. But in reality, he was knocked out. He won while he was knocked out. This is nothing but I'm white and I say so. Because see, they can't keep showing white people take L's. Now, there were some white people trying to jump in the room to try to defend it. They jumped in the room trying to splain. There were some white people talking about, well, no, dude, it was not really about race. Well, according to the rules, you're not supposed to knock anybody out in the competition, in the karate. You're not supposed to knock anybody out if you're in the boxing competition either, dude. According to the rules, man, rules are rules, dude. No, that's not true. That is not true whatsoever. We had to explain that ain't true because there's a Russian Olympic boxer named Iman Katvez. Katiev, I think that's his name. Iman Katiev. And he's known for knocking people out in the boxing ring in the Olympics, and they never disqualify him. They brag about how great of a knockout artist he is. So no, y'all not going to be able to spread lies. No, there's a white Russian boxer who's an Olympic fighter, and he's always knocking people out. They never disqualify him, and they love bragging about how thorough his knockouts are. That's bullshit. No, they just use the I'm white and I say so and the selective enforcement of so-called rules. And then you had some people hop in trying to play the he's not really white game. Well, the guy that was fighting the black guy is not really white, dude. He's Iranian. That's another con game. They like to play the he's not really white game. Just like with Zimmerman. Zimmerman's not really white. No, that's bullshit. That's another con game the white supremacists like to play. No, this Iranian man is white. In fact, the Iranians identify as white. Don't play that game. That is a white man. That's why I keep referring to him as the white man. Now, he's Middle Eastern, dude. No, no, no. The Iranians identify as white. Don't ever let nobody run this game on you. Don't let people run the people of color game on you. Iranians identify as white. Not only do Iranians identify as white, they identify as being some of the OG white people, the Aryans. Do you understand that? They identify as being the OG Aryans. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, you know what Iran means? Iran means land of the Aryans. Yeah, they don't call themselves Middle Easterners. They call themselves Persians. That sounds a little bit better than Middle Eastern sounds like niggas. Persian sounds a little more exotic and white. But Iran literally means land of the Aryans. When Hitler and all these white supremacists talk about Aryan and Aryan nations, the Iranians are pointing to themselves like, yes, that's us. That is us. We're the OG Aryans. They are white. When they get over here, they identify as white. Let's be very, very clear. They are white, white, wittity, white, white. So we better understand the games that these folks are playing out here. Where are my Texas people at? But before I forget, out there in Texas, y'all, Governor Abbott out here, they're talking about all of these people out here in Texas. These are the main folks telling folks, hey, don't make me wear a mask. My body, don't control my body. You don't tell me what to do. You don't make me wear a mask. I don't want to wear a mask. You don't control my body. Then they said, hey, look, y'all bitches better not get an abortion after 6 weeks, though. Yeah, don't tell us to wear a mask, but y'all hussies better not get no damn abortion if we see a faint of a heartbeat. After 6 weeks, you better not get an abortion. And most women don't even know they're pregnant in 6 weeks. they control that. Boy, the hypocrisy is real, because they're trying to keep those white numbers up. And they said, look, they said, hey, what if a woman gets raped? And the governor said something very interesting. This is what Greg Abbott said when people said, well, damn it, man, what if a woman gets raped? This is what Greg Abbott said. He said he's not worried about pregnant rape victims because he has a plan to arrest all future rapists. What? What the hell? Let's unpack this. We got to unpack this. We got to unpack what Governor Abbott is talking about here. He said he has a plan to somehow arrest all future rapists. Now, what does he mean by that? What does Governor Abbott mean by arresting all future rapists? Who do they always label as rapists? They label black men as rapists. White men, even if a white man goes around on a raping spree, well, he was mentally ill. He's not really a rapist. They put that rape label on black men. Even if the sex is consensual, if a black man is having sex with a white woman, even if it's consensual, they still consider that rape. I want y'all to understand the game here. This whole thing where they're going to arrest future rapists. See, they've been talking about this stuff before. Yeah, the movie Minority Report was about this, how they're going to start targeting people before they commit a crime. That's some stuff they were doing up there in Chicago, by the way. Some preemptive targeting. That's what they tried to do to our brother down there in Florida, who shot the race soldier. They tried to run up in his crib to do some preemptive policing. Understand this whole Roe versus Wade thing. The reason why abortions became illegal is because they were promoting the black man is going around raping white women narrative. That was the narrative that they used. I talked about this before with Roe versus Wade. Jane Roe, that normal woman, she lied and said that one of the people who gang raped her was a black man. She said she was gang raped and one of the people was a black man. So that narrative got out that black men are gang raping white women. So they used that to say, hey, we gotta pass abortion because what if these white women are pregnant with these nigger babies? The whole purpose of us not getting abortions is to have more white babies. But what if white women get raped by niggers? You see, so that you're going to start seeing a lot of those type of narratives pop up. You're going to start hearing about a lot of these rape fantasies, these black men going around raping white women fantasies popping off. You understand? You're about to start hearing a lot of that now, especially out there in Texas. That's why they also passed that law about how tricking you out here paying for some pussy. They gonna make that a felony and they gonna charge brothers with that. See, when they get these abortion laws and then they start getting these sexual laws that they start to criminalize, you better watch out for that. Start connecting the dots. But now when they say they're gonna get all future rapists, that means they're gonna start targeting black men so that the white women, you ain't gotta worry about getting knocked up by these niggas because we're gonna start locking many of them up. He's using all types of dog whistles and code words here. You better pick up on the code words that these white supremacists are saying. They don't want abortion because they don't want all these white women. A lot of white women get abortions. They cannot have these white women aborting these babies because white numbers are already low. White numbers are already drastically low, where many of these white supremacist enclaves, the people are going extinct. They need as many white babies as possible. You understand? So these white women who are having these little sexual trysts with brothers, you know, they're kind of dog whistling like, hey, we're going to get these niggas up off the streets. So we're going to stop all that. Y'all better get on code because all these niggas y'all like laying up with, we're going to start targeting them too. We're going to start going after them. That was nothing but a dog whistle, that going after future rapists. They're not going after white men. They only enforce these laws. They enforce them against black folks. Just like down there in Florida. Down in Florida, you have this sheriff down, this racist ass sheriff over there in Polk County. This sheriff who I've talked about him before. He's done all types of little racist stuff. he did some kind of little rap where he was, yeah, if you do the crime, you're going to do the time. Yeah, yeah. So he's a little white supremacist sheriff who likes to show out there. And this dude, where's this thing? Where's this thing? I want to find this thing. That sheriff out there, he did a press conference recently where a white man went on a killing spree, killed some kids, killed a family. He was shooting at cops, the whole nine yards. And let me find that article on this white dude real quickly. Hold on. Y'all bear with me 1 second, because this is very interesting. This sheriff down there, he did a press conference talking about the arrest of this white killer. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. So here it is right here. So he did a press conference, and this is what he said in the press conference. Look at the headline. Florida deputies got a murder suspect to surrender. The sheriff said he wishes they would have killed him. Okay, so that's Grady Judge. He's a known suspected white supremacist. After allegedly killing four strangers, including a four-month-old baby, and getting into multiple shootouts with law enforcement this weekend, a former Marine, look at how they talk about this killer, came out of a Florida home with his hands up, but the sheriff said he wishes the alleged gunman had not surrendered so his deputies could have killed him. It would have been nice if he had come out with a gun, then we would have had to be able to read a newspaper through him. If we had been given the opportunity, we would have shot him up a lot. Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here, man. Okay, and this is the suspect. This white man right here. This is the white suspect who was shooting at cops, killed babies, shot a family, and he walked out untouched. You see, don't have a scratch on him. Get the hell, that's all cap. That's him trying to save face because they shoot black people down there for jaywalking and everybody calls them out. They sit up and say, well, we feared for our lives. We had to shoot you niggas for jaywalking because you niggas, we thought you had a weapon. We thought you were shoplifting. Your eyes were shifting back and forth. You niggas were, you were chewing gum aggressively. You were talking too loud, so we had to shoot you. Because we were scared. You scared us. Your actions scared us. You didn't surrender fast enough. Yeah, you had your hands up, but they weren't up high enough, so we had to shoot you. So when people point out, hey, this dude was really shooting at you. He killed babies. He killed the whole family. And y'all surrendered. I mean, y'all got this guy, and y'all didn't touch him. Well, we wish we would have shot him. Well, I wish we could have. Shut the hell up. Shut the hell up. You didn't wish nothing. If you wanted to kill that man, you would have. Y'all stayed on the white supremacist code with him. Y'all stayed on the damn white supremacist code with this dude. Y'all know how not to shoot people. That's all cap. Cap, cap, cap. He didn't wish nothing. That's him just trying to save face. So now when they go shoot another baby, when they go shoot a black kid or gun another black kid down in the back, shoot a black kid for walking away, they can say, well, yeah, we didn't shoot the white guy, but we wish we would have. Stop it. Oh, ain't no wishing. When it comes to us, they don't wish nothing. They do. It ain't no we wish we would have shot the Negro. You dig? Ain't none of that we wish stuff. Ain't no wishing with that. Yeah, it's a little game they try to play on us. But listen, by the way, rest in power to our good brother, Michael K. Williams. Very good actor, our good brother, Michael K. Williams. Rest in power to our brother, Michael K. Williams. Our brother, he died this week. Very powerful actor. Powerful actor, man. It's a very sad death of our brother. Very sad death of our brother Michael K. Williams. Let me show a picture of our brother just to salute. Let me show a picture of our brother Michael K. Williams. This is Michael K. Williams. Shout out to our brother Michael K. Williams. Our brother died. And let me talk about our brother for 1 second. Great actor, man. Very powerful actor. Very intense actor, man. Very talented brother. Our brother, what it looks like that the brother was fucking with the narcotic. And I know he was battling narcotics throughout his life. He was relapsing back and forth. So the brother had a drug problem, a drug issue for a general part of his life. And the brother was kind of going back and forth with it. He was struggling with that demon. And here's the thing. The brother was messing with that narcotic allegedly. And I think it was laced with some of that fentanyl. And some of that fentanyl-laced narcotic got at our brother. Now listen. We're seeing too much of this. A lot of brothers in their 50s, a lot of brothers getting into middle age, around that age. We're seeing a lot of this. These brothers out here, you're dealing with the system of white supremacy. You're in the context of white supremacy. And a lot of these brothers, you get middle aged and then you want to double down on that narcotic. That ain't it, guys. Let me talk to my brothers out here. This ain't it. Because we keep seeing this play over and over again. Listen, there was another case out here in LA. It was a black brother who was a comedian. I can't think of the brother's name. He was a comedian out here. Him and some other people were out here fucking with that cocaine and that fentanyl, and they died. Family, that fentanyl ain't no damn joke. That's what got DMX. Remember, people were mad at Irv Gotti. Irv Gotti was like, yeah, man, DMX was fucking with that crack, but it was laced with fentanyl. People got mad at Irv Gotti for saying that, but I think that's what happened. That fentanyl ain't no joke, guys. Look, it's hitting a lot of folks. Rapper Shock G. That's what got Shock G. That's what got Shock G. Shock G was messing with that narcotic that was laced with that damn fentanyl. Fuquan Johnson, that's his name. Yeah, listen to me. Listen, fam. Let's talk for a minute. Listen. Right now, guys, let me talk about this thing from a... I talk about it from a moral perspective. And we'll just talk about it from a practical perspective. Listen, just from a practical perspective, y'all need to stop fucking with the narcotic, because right now, a lot of the dope that's out here on the streets, and let's just talk on some street shit. A lot of this dope is stepped on, man. A lot of the dope on the street right now is hella stepped on, man. They're mixing it and they're cutting it with a bunch of bullshit. Why? Right now, there's a semi-drought for a lot of the hard. Because of COVID restrictions, it's hindering not only legitimate travel, it also hinders a lot of the smuggling of the underground economy and commodities that go on. It's very difficult to kind of move and hop in and out of countries. You can't just kind of drug mule your way in the game out here no more. Not right now. You got to have QR codes to get into certain countries. Even shipping, man, they're double checking ships right now, especially coming over from Asia. So listen. Yeah, Keisha Cole's mama, Frankie, somebody was saying she might have been fucking with something that was laced with that fentanyl. Listen to what I'm saying, guys. So because a lot of the travel is restricted, a lot of the shipments that are coming in are kind of restricted. Let's say somebody's out here slanging. You got a plug. You don't know when your plug is going to come through no more. Your plug ain't going to come through as consistently if you out here slanging. Some niggas out here trapping somebody. You don't know who's going to come through consistently. So whatever work you have, you're going to have to stretch that work out. You understand? I'm just telling you how this shit works on a practical thing. You're going to have to stretch your workout. So if you got cocaine, you're going to have to stretch that cocaine out. If you got heroin, you're going to have to stretch that heroin out. Now, what's in abundance? A lot of these fentanyls, these fentanyl pills, and a lot of this fentanyl powder is coming through Mexico. There's an abundance of that, and that fentanyl is real cheap and is real potent. So now, let's say a dude who's out here trapping, he got 100 rocks that's worth $20. He got it from his plug, but now his plug is caught up on some COVID restrictions. His plug might not be able to get at him in a few months or whenever. So now how is he going to make them 100 crack rocks last? Because if he just sling that 100 crack rocks, he'll get $2,000. He could just usually re-up, get 100 more, re-up, get 100 more. But now he can't re-up as fast. So now if a nigga's trapping, he's going to cut them 20s into 10s. He's going to cut them in half. Then you put a little fentanyl on them. You lace them bitches with fentanyl. So now your customers are going to still get that same high and then some. Your customers will still get that same high with that 10 that's laced with the fentanyl. And then not only can you sell that 10 for 20, hell, because there's a semi-drought, you can sell that 10 for 30. So now you can sell those 100, those 100 rocks. Well, now they're 200 rocks. You can sling them bitches for 30. What, you got $6,000? So now you done tripled your work. You understand? So this is how, this is what a lot of dudes are doing out here now. They're lacing a lot of shit with fentanyl in order to stretch out their work. You understand? But the problem is that fentanyl is potent as hell. That fentanyl is extra, extra potent. And potent, just a little bit of it will take your ass the fuck up out of here, dude. A little bit. No, I'm just telling y'all the game, man. I'm just telling you how these niggas are thinking out here and how the game is working out here. I'm just telling y'all how the game is. This is why so many people are dropping dead fucking with this narcotic out here, because these dudes are stretching out their work and putting this damn fentanyl in the mix, and it's knocking people the fuck out of here. So I want y'all to understand what's going on. That ain't worth it, man. Leave that shit alone. These niggas are trying to get their money out here. They'll sell you anything, dude. And yeah, it'll get you high. It'll get you very high. It'll get you extremely high. You'll get an intense high. But nigga, you don't know who mixed this and who laced it. You don't know who put that damn rock together for you. You don't know who put that bag together for you, man. You don't know if that nigga put in too much or too little. You don't know what's in that shit. That shit is deadly, man. So you leave that bullshit alone. I'm just telling you how niggas thinking out here and how the streets are working and how people are looking at this thing and how they're stretching out the order. That's why people are getting knocked off now, because the regular plugs ain't coming through because of the restrictions. Remember, look, I was out of the country. Nigga, it took me a minute just to get back home. Because in certain countries, nigga, they throw a travel restriction on you at the drop of a hat. Certain countries, just like you vacationing and you want to go to one country, and all of a sudden they say, hey, look, if you came from this country, you can't go to Paris. If you came from this country, you can't go to the U.S. You got to be quarantined. And if a motherfucker's a drug mule, you ain't trying to be quarantined, or you ain't trying to be held up with a sack of cocaine in your pussy. You trying to smuggle over. You ain't trying to do that. So yeah, the work ain't getting over here like it needs to be. You know? So niggas are doing anything to stretch that work out, and that fentanyl, man, if you lace it with stuff, man, it'll stretch the shit out and you'll still get high, but the consequences are too great, man. So we got to get off that. That is not the lick, ladies and gentlemen. See, we have to understand we are at war. And our sister, Dr. Wilson, used to talk about this. When you're in war, you ain't got time to get high. When you're in the middle of a war and you're in the context of war, altering your mindset is not the move. And we have a lot of brothers out here. And notice that all these brothers, a lot of them are dying right in their mid-50s. A lot of these brothers they get in their mid-50s and brothers and sisters and start relapsing. because you see certain circumstances in your life and you're like, damn, I didn't accomplish this, I didn't accomplish that, so I want to make myself feel better. I'm stuck in the crib. I'm not getting the opportunities that I need to get. I'm not doing this like I used to do, so let me just get high and feel good and just live my last days enjoying life in a high stupor. That's not how you're supposed to live. That's not how you're supposed to live. You're supposed to be a warrior out here. You are not supposed to be sitting up here high, coked out of your mind, fucking with that fentanyl, putting your life on the line, especially if you got kids. You got to be around for your kids. I want brothers to man the fuck up. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but I'm just saying it's too many brothers out here, especially middle-aged dudes out here. Yeah, we know you done been through some things, but we understand it. You got to understand the context of white supremacy. This is why you stay focused on the ball. A lot of folks, you've been dismayed by the circumstances in your life that's been orchestrated by white supremacy, and then you start beating up on yourself by hitting the damn pipe. Understand your circumstances, why certain things went down, and understand what context it went down in. Once you understand that it went down in the context of white supremacy, most of the things that happened to you went down under that context, you will start focusing on alleviating the system of white supremacy and creating a system of justice. You are not going to sit up here and say, let me just tap out and get high and give up, because getting high is giving up. Sitting around here on that narcotic, especially when you got some damn kids, especially when you old, some of you old motherfuckers really need to put the damn pipe down. You get old and start wanting to experiment with drugs. Cut that bullshit out, especially if you got kids. We don't have time for that. We got a lot of that bullshit out here. A lot of old niggas out here getting high, trying to relive their youth, getting high, trying to feel good and not being a warrior out here, and then getting mad at the warriors. YouTube is full of these old dusty high niggas. If you notice that, if you look at YouTube and look at all the old dusty hating niggas on YouTube, a lot of the old dusty niggas who's always hating on productive people, it's always some old middle-aged crackhead nigga. Teeth raggedy than a motherfucker, bussy swole, cause niggas been in and out of jail all their life, giving up bussy, high, coked the fuck out with the Bobby Brown crack jaw, out here mad at everybody else who's productive because they weren't smoking the damn crack. Now, we're going to have to get this shit cleaned up out here. And some people say, well, white people be on dope. White people are not crippled as a community. We're already going in the game crippled. We're already crippled by racism. White people can't afford to be on the damn pipe. You don't compare yourself to them when it comes to that damn narcotic. See, that's the problem. See, a lot of folks, y'all start hanging with white folks and start getting on that damn narcotic because your white buddies are doing it. That's the last thing you do. And white people are very good at getting people drunk and high. I remember going to meetings with white execs and they would always try to give me something to drink, something to smoke. No, thank you. They're good at that, and y'all niggas fall for it every time. Y'all get around white people, especially in the industry, and they love getting your ass high. They get you high. Rick James, he started getting high because of Jim Morrison from The Doors. Jim Morrison tricked him into some damn getting some LSD. Jim Morrison said, hey, let me give you this breath mint, and it was a damn LSD pill, and that's how Rick James got on dope. We always get tricked into that shit. But see, they can afford to do that because, see, they have the system of white supremacy to protect them. You don't have that. That's why you can have black actors and white actors, the black actors and entertainers, they get on the pipe. You never hear from them again. They fall all the way off and they never really make a comeback. But white actors and entertainers, they get on the pipe and then they make a glorious comeback. Look at Robert Downey Jr. There's no black version of Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. used to be in crack houses all over LA back in the day, if y'all remember, all my LA people. He would stay in a damn crack house. Robert Downey Jr. would be arrested for crack every other week. Now he's back to being an A-list actor. That's called whiteness. That is whiteness. You don't have that luxury, black person, so we have to move a little bit different. We don't have the luxury to be bullshitting around, altering our minds with that damn narcotic. We don't have the goddamn luxury for that. You dig? We got to be warriors out here, man. Our minds have to be crystal clear. Charlie Sheen. They still love Charlie Sheen to this day. He's an AIDS-having, HIV-having crackhead, meth head, and everything else head. And they still love Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen can still get work today. He's still doing commercials. You understand? Let's keep it a buck. Now, Samuel Jackson. Now, Samuel L. Jackson, he was on the narcotic before he got into the industry. That's the thing with Sam. So he got off the narcotic and then he started his movie career and got it popping. So Sam wasn't a big name, got on the pipe, fell off, and then came back. It didn't work like that. No. When Sam Jackson got off the pipe, that's when he started coming up and he stayed off the pipe. Now that will work. If you're somebody who's on the pipe and you get off the pipe and then you come up, that's different. See, Robert Downey Jr. was a big star back in the 80s. He got on the pipe and then became a big star again. You understand? Yeah, the white actors, they get consoled. So we got to understand that, man. We ain't got time for that, man. We got to be warriors out here. We got to have our minds clear. Black men, we got to be great examples for these black boys and these black girls, man. We got to start being great examples. Being old crackhead haters and all that dumb shit is for the fucking birds. Sitting around here about to damn die over some sorry ass fentanyl that the Mexicans done brought over. Man, come on, that ain't no way to go out, guys. Y'all got to cut that out. We done came too far for y'all to be taken out by some weak-ass synthetic drugs from Mexico and Asia. That's a lot of that fentanyl comes over from Asia, too. But a lot of the fentanyl now is coming through Mexico. We ain't got time for that, man. We got to be warriors out here. Yeah, you got to stay on your square. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio, ladies and gentlemen. We had us a little drug rehab meeting real quick. But listen, this Sunday, y'all tune in. The new Mink Slide single, Phone Down. This week, ladies and gentlemen, the new Mink Slide single, Phone Down. Coming this week, y'all don't want to miss it. And the new EP, Funk on Wheels, it is coming, ladies and gentlemen. Funk on Wheels, October 1st. Funk on Wheels. By the way, we're doing another video this Thursday at a skate rink out here in L.A., all my LA people, if you can skate, if you know how to roller skate and roller skate good, y'all email me info@tariqelite.com. Where some of my brothers at? Some of my LA brothers, man, who can really get their gangsta boogie on them skates, man. We need y'all to come on. We got a lot of ladies coming through. We got a lot of ladies coming through. We need some brothers who can skate too. We ain't just trying to be a faux dudes out here with 50 women. So we need some of the brothers who can get down and get their skate on too. And ladies too, if you're out here, hit me up. info@tariqelite.com. That's my email, info@tariqelite.com. Y'all follow me on Instagram @TariqElite. And follow me on Twitter @TariqNasheed. Y'all have a good evening. I will holler at you guys this Sunday.